south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, you know you're way off the gringo tourist trail when Latinos are wearing t-shirts and sweatshirts with sayings on them you would cringe or be extremely embarrassed to wear yourself. Or maybe not, because you just want to shock people. But most of us gringos and expats are not of that disposition. We don't like to be stared at. We don't like to be the center of attention. We want to remain as anonymous as possible. That's my goal anyway, and it should be yours too. That means, you know, if you're wearing a t-shirt and it's got Spanish lettering or a Spanish saying on it, you ought to know what it means. But as for Latinos, especially way off the gringo tourist trail, they'll wear any piece of clothing that's got English writing or English sayings on it. Because in Latin America, that makes you cool, makes you hip with the trip. Why else would a Latino, a Latin guy, wear a t-shirt that says on it, quote, assholes are people too, unquote. Or how about this t-shirt worn by a Latino male in what we know is a very macho society? It says in English, of course, I'm not gay, but 20 bucks is 20 bucks, unquote. Man, I'll tell you, macho Latino males are so gay phobic. They would never in a million years go for a t-shirt like that if they knew what it actually meant. But just to clarify things, it's a macho society, and Latino guys are gay-phobic, but they're no longer into insulting or torturing gays. Some years ago, yeah, that was prevalent, but not anymore. They may be intolerant, but they keep it to themselves. The fact is, you almost never hear of gays being hassled anymore. Then again, the majority of gays down here are not 100% open about it. Though it's true, tons of them have come out of the closet, but they rarely flaunt it or throw it in your face. What I mean is, you'll be able to spot gays here and there, but there are very few flamers. Well, not in public places, anyway. And how about this t-shirt I just saw a Latin guy wearing? You know those I Love New York t-shirts that are everywhere, right? Well, this one says, with the heart and all, I love f***ing New York, unquote. Now, you might feel that way too, but that's definitely not the kind of t-shirt the average gringo, anyway, would want to wear in mixed or polite society, or when strolling through the park with your grandma. Though, I guess it does depend which trailer court you were brought up in. Anyway, I've got a nice collection of photos I've taken of various Latin American t-shirts that I'm absolutely 100% sure that the wearer has no idea of the translation. That is what they really mean. But, you know, things like that make the living experience here in Latin America all the more fun and interesting. The question is, would you wear a t-shirt that said, assholes are people too? Well, I think not on a first date, anyway. Though it would certainly fit at a woke rally, wouldn't it? But I digress. And in the first minute and a half of the show, too. That must be a record. All right, let's take an email on a subject that a huge percentage of expat gonna-bes and wannabes are concerned with. You'd be surprised how many gringos and expats pull me aside and ask me this very question. It's not one many people like to talk about in the open, because it does have some stigmas attached to it. Anyway, Mr. JW says, Johnny, I'm wondering what's the availability in Latin America, specifically Guatemala, of pain medications such as oxycodone and morphine. He says, I personally have a prescription in the States for those drugs, but will definitely need refills if I plan to stay a month or more. Are there any go-to pharmacies that can supply my medical prescription needs? Thanks for any advice you can give me. Signed, Mr. JW. Okay, JW, good question. The fact is, down here in Latin America, all the major pharmacies carry the usual proprietary drugs, along with the generic brands, too. Though the generic brands aren't usually coming from China or India. They're generally produced by Latin American pharmaceutical companies. So they will be brands you've never heard of, often at 25% or less than the name brand drug. And yes, pharmacies will fill prescriptions from U.S. doctors. They'll fill any doctor's prescription. And you know, over the years, I've taken many expats, male and female, with prescriptions in hand written by a U.S. doctor. We've gone to a local pharmacy to get those things filled. Most all the medium and large pharmacies will have whatever you need, as long as it's in general use. They'll even have most of the brand new drugs you see on TV. You know, the new drugs that big pharma's come up with to cure diseases that didn't exist a couple of years ago. Don't you hate that? Anyway, with brand name drugs. Often, when you go into a pharmacy down here, when they check it on the computer, it'll be a different name than what you're used to because it's been translated into Spanish, or another company makes the same thing and the name's been Latinized, so to speak. But you don't have to worry about that. They've got all the drugs cross-listed. The only thing you do have to worry about is if they could read your doctor's writing or not. You know, it's funny. It's kind of a universal sickness with all doctors. Pathologic penmanship. Scribblitis. So I always recommend you take a photo of the label on your pill bottle, because that's always nicely typed up by the pharmacist back home. Though, of course, on the other hand, you don't really need to have a prescription for anything here in Latin America. However, some Latin American countries have rules about that. They've recently passed a few laws restricting the sale of certain drugs without a prescription. But that's only true in a few Latin countries. For example, in Ecuador, Panama, and Costa Rica, if you go into a really big pharmacy chain asking for a specific antibiotic or oxycodone or even Cialis or Viagra, that's what I've heard anyway, they just might tell you you need a prescription. Because recently there have been some slightly restrictive laws passed. However, if you just walk down the street to a much smaller pharmacy, a local neighborhood place that's not a chain, a mom-and-pop pharmacy, they'll always give you the drug. Even the most powerful ones, like oxycodone, morphine, and Cialis and Viagra. You know, I gotta tell you, gringos are always asking about Cialis and Viagra. Then again, maybe it's their wives and girlfriends who are insisting on it. So then why would smaller drugstores not give a rip about you having a prescription or not? Because they're a mom-and-pop outfit, and they're not going to turn down a sale. And no one's checking anyway. They've got no drugstore, DEA, FDA, or pharmacy police. Even if they've got that so-called prescription law for painkillers and antibiotics, if you phoned up the cops and say, hey, there's a pharmacy breaking the law, selling Viagra, oxycodone, and penicillin without a prescription, well, I'm against it. This is a citizen's arrest, and you got to do something about it. You know what'll happen? There'll be a pregnant pause at the end of the line and maybe some laughter. And if it's around this time of year, they'll think it's an April Fool's joke. Nope, it ain't gonna happen. Oh, and speaking of April Fool's Day in Latin America, they celebrate it on a different day, and it's not called April Fool's. It's called Dia de los Inocentes, the Day of the Innocents. In other words, it's the day to pull the wool over the eyes of innocent dupes. And it's not April 1st, it's December 28th. So if you try to pull a fast one on your buddy on April 1st in Latin America, it won't work. You'll get blank stares. Or maybe you'll get disappeared, depending on how many neck tattoos your buddy has. Just kidding. Then again, if you're living in Mexico, especially if you're living in certain districts or states, like, for example, Jalisco, well, the drug cartels absolutely run the place, and they own all the politicians and cops, too. I know. A lot of you guys and gals out there have a vested interest in Mexico. You bought land, or you've been going back and forth on vacation for many years and are thinking of retiring there, or are retired there already. Now, I just wonder, all you defenders of Mexico, what goes through your head when you hear the kind of news that's coming out all the time? Like, for example, just recently when 26 bodies were found wrapped in plastic and buried not too deeply in a dog. Just happened to be running around with a human forearm in its mouth. That's how authorities found this particular site. So I'm wondering what all the pro-Mexico gringos and expats are thinking when they read that kind of news. Those aren't isolated incidences either. Not when you've got dozens of human rights activist groups saying that Mexico's the 21st century version of the killing fields. I'm wondering what all those pro-Mexico gringos and expats say when Mexico's number one security specialist, Eduardo Guerrero, is quoted in the international press as saying that Mexican cartels are so organized and have such huge amounts of money that they've got their own paramilitary-style armies completely outfitted, along with all the necessary vehicles and armaments. This guy, the number one security specialist, said on the record they represent such a severe challenge to the Mexican government that when they encounter resistance, political or otherwise, in small or medium-sized Mexican cities, they'll detach their own sort of narco SWAT team, a paramilitary platoon of at least 50 operatives that can easily defeat any local police force. And I wonder about the cognitive dissonance that must be kicking in when gringos and expats living in Mexico hear about a guy named El Mencho, a former police officer who is now the DEA's top Mexican target. You gotta wonder what gringos and expats are thinking when they hear that the DEA has a price on this guy's head of $10 million.
Is it that they just don't pay attention to the stories or the news articles? Is it just that they don't care, as long as the clandestine burial sites aren't in their neighborhoods? And I wonder what gringos and expats who love Mexico, I wonder what they think when they find out that the last time Mexican troops tried to capture that guy, El Mencho, who's been a fugitive for a dozen years now. By the way, he's even been spotted in the U.S. How'd that happen? Anyway, the last time the Mexican military tried to capture the guy, his own personal paramilitary guard shot down an army helicopter with a rocket launcher. Tell me, would that bother you? And I wonder what Mexico-loving gringos and expats are thinking. What's going through their heads when they find out that the mountain range directly west of Guadalajara, oh, by the way, the city of Guadalajara, Mexico, being Mexico's number one university town. In fact, they've got a very excellent medical school there. And some of the specialty programs have worldwide recognition. The question is, what do gringos and expats living in Mexico think? What really goes on in their minds when they find out there are large paramilitary-style training camps and secret laboratories that produce vast quantities of synthetic drugs? All that just a half hour away from Guadalajara. And I wonder what all those Mexican-loving gringos and expats are thinking when they hear how cartel gunmen in black combat gear with the cartel group's initials stamped in their bulletproof vests. Just what are those gringos and expats thinking when they hear about them sweeping through the streets in high-end 4x4s with mounted machine guns? You know, it just makes me wonder if all those gringos and expats living in Mexico, there are over a million of them, you know. It makes me wonder about their cognitive dissonance. You know, that's typically the acceptance on some level of contradictory beliefs, ideas, and values. And, you know, psychiatrists say that with cognitive dissonance, instead of actively trying to resolve the conflict, the brain just flips into avoidance or acceptance mode. Now, let's for a second compare Mexico's so-called killing fields to other Latin countries. Well, you can look up this stuff all day on the net and you'll not find a single instance in any other Latin American country where such mass graves are found on a routine basis. Now, that's not to say mass graves haven't been found in other Latin countries. That has happened, but only during civil wars and revolutions. Never in the 21st century has that happened in any other Latin country. Sure, you'll hear about narcos popping off other narcos. That happens all the time. But it's only in Mexico where large groups of civilians end up in mass graves, including such innocents as teachers and school kids. But you knew that already, right? Well, some of you did anyway. Meanwhile, if you go on the net, you'll see rags like International Living, AARP, Condé Nast Traveler, and dozens of other expat sites telling you how great it is to go down to Mexico, get your residency, retire on the cheap, and live happily ever after. The question is, if it's as bad as it is right now, and most all Mexican politicians and people in the know are saying the cartels own the police and the government, I don't get it. How can any ostensibly smart, astute, and well-informed gringo believe the conditions are going to get better? Or maybe they're just temporary and regional. Narcos are criminals, and criminals will never give up control. They'll just grab more of it. But gringos and expats from Canada and the States who always lived under the rule of law, we're always thinking, the good and righteous will overcome, right? Now, you longtime listeners know I've been singing the same tune for a long time, and often I'll even say I'm never going to talk about Mexico again. I'm done. You know my point of view. I've given you the stats. It's just not worth harping on anymore. People are going to do what they're going to do. Confirmation bias is a powerful thing. In the end, of course, concerning Mexico anyway, I know you don't want to hear this, but the good guys will not prevail. We're not living in a Disney movie. Narcos are in control. They've got too much money and power, and they're not going to give it up. However, if you're clairvoyant and your conscience tells you differently, your confirmation bias is acting up again, and you've got a strong case of cognitive dissonance, well, go right ahead, because you're going to live in Mexico anyway. In the end, living in Mexico, you might not get the life you were hoping for, but you'll get the life you voted for. I know what it's like. I know the reality is when you first land in Latin America, you're a happy camper at first. Everyone is. After all, we all arrive with rose-colored glasses. Hey, it happened to me, too, when I first landed in Costa Rica, which is still a hell of a lot better than Mexico. Costa Rica is much safer. They've really got few organized gangs, no narco state, just a lot of petty crime. But that's another thing. Fact is, it took me about 2 years or so to realize that International Living and Condé Nast Traveler were lying to me about Costa Rica. All right, and now an email from Joe Kano, not his real name. So who's Joe Kano? An expat insider seminar attendee who came down a couple of years ago with his dad. So since then, he's finally got that Plan B action going, and he's living in Guatemala now. So he's just sent me this email entitled, My 4-Month Progress. He says, hey, Johnny, it's been 4 months since I sold or gave everything away and moved on down to Guatemala. And oh boy, has it been an adventure. I don't really even know where to start. I do know, however, that I've never been happier and more relaxed in my entire life. I'm only in my 30s, but I've had a pretty rough past decade, and all that stress is just gone now. It took 3 weeks for reality to set in and for me to really relax, but it happened, and now I couldn't be more pleased with my decision to move down. The funny part is, I put a lot of stress on myself trying to make enough money to get down here, and now that I'm here, I realize I didn't need to get stressed out about money. I can laugh about it now, but I hope that people take that to heart and stop waiting and procrastinating. Okay, with that out of the way, now I'll get to the fun stuff. I can tell you, for the 4 months I've been down here, not once have I felt unsafe in this country. You know me, Johnny. I'm a little adventurous, and I like to go different places, even places I'm not necessarily supposed to go, like those red zones. Though I'm not recommending people do all that, but in any event, practically everywhere I go, I've found most everyone in this country to be happy, helpful, polite, thoughtful, and very accommodating, even with my horrible Spanish. I'm able to get around quite easily, even in the scruffier zones. Heck, I've been running around so much lately that I've taken Lawyer Jose to a few places he didn't even know existed. And he was born here. In fact, he says, I've acclimated faster than anyone he's ever seen in that short period of time. That's not me bragging, mind you. I've been listening to your podcast since it was new and just applied a lot of what you told us, which is spot on, by the way. Between the podcast, the seminar, and the wonderful network of people I met here, yes, even Captain Mango, this almost seems easier than moving to another town in the U.S. And speaking of Captain Mango, what a guy. It's been so much fun seeing him again and hanging out. We've gotten up to some shenanigans and have a few others planned, too. In fact, I'm meeting up with him and Oscar Minor late this afternoon. Also, I can't recommend Captain Mango's crypto course enough. I spoke with him about a year ago, and he really got me up to speed very quickly on crypto. I was able to turn a very modest sum into a rather embarrassingly large amount of money. And now we just argue over and over again which coin is going to make us more money. I say to everyone, it's not too late to get into this crypto thing. It's still just the very beginning. I'd bet the farm on it. Then he says, another reason it's so damn easy living down here is that old gringo advantage you talk about. You're not kidding. They love us gringos. I could probably write a short book on just my experiences with it, or maybe a series of email. Maybe I'll call it Joe K's Favorite Gringo Moments. For example, one Latin lawyer that I ended up not renting a house from, though we really got along so naturally, we kept in touch. Well, we went out for a beer recently and were talking when his phone rang. He didn't want to be rude and answer in front of me, but I told him to pick it up anyway. So he spoke for a minute, then hung up and said, well, now we have to celebrate. I'm changing jobs on Monday. I said, wow, what kind of job did you get? Thinking, isn't lawyering enough? To which he replied to me, I just got confirmed for a cabinet position in the government. I'll be working with the president of Guatemala directly now. So immediately I was thinking, who gets to be part of the movers and shakers in the government in the U.S.? Only the mega wealthy and the connected have that kind of access to power. Needless to say, I made sure he put me on the invite list for the parties. I know you don't like politicians, Johnny. I don't either, but maybe I can have some fun at their expense for a change. I know, Johnny, for you, this has been a crazy long email, so I'll cut it short here. But I've got a ton of cool things I can talk about, even just being here 4 months. I've got stories about the travel, the cops, the business opportunities, the people, the crazy things you see driving along the road, the mating and dating, which is very easy, by the way, guys. It can be as easy as making eye contact and saying hi. I'm serious. I'm no weightlifting gym boy model either. Just a gringo with that gringo advantage. So I suppose to make a long story even less long, you're not lying to us, Johnny. You really are giving it to us straight. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. Thanks again for everything, Mr. Joe Kano.
P.S. I've been bugging attorney Jose about making me a driver for the next seminar, and I apparently got the job. I'm looking forward to sharing more with the people that come down to the next one. Oh, and I forgot to mention that my dad is down here too now. Needless to say, we are happy and excited to be here too. All right, thanks for that, Joe. Glad you're having a good time. But you know, I couldn't help but notice you only gave me the good and the great. Someday, I hope you fill me in on the bad and the ugly, if there's any of that. I'll mention that here on the show too. But the very cool thing is when people come down to my seminar, they get to meet the crowd that's already living down here. All the best kind of like-minded people you'll ever want to meet too. We've got a great network down here, so you'll never be at a loss if you've got a question or a problem. There's always someone close by that you've met at the seminar or through the seminar that can get you over any question or hump, even if your Spanish absolutely sucks. Especially if your Spanish absolutely sucks. A good example being, what bank should you open an account at? Or which is the best internet provider for you? How about when you're trying to hire a cleaning lady or maintenance guy? Whether it's buying health insurance, finding a dentist, a plumber, whatever. You'll never have to resort to an internet search or be forced to walk into an expat bar to ask advice from people you don't even know. You'll never feel like a totally clueless green gringo. That won't happen to you if you come down to the seminar. After that, you'll have a nice network of expats in the know to lean on. But you knew that already, right? Okay, now allow me to be a hypocrite for a minute. What? Just for a minute? That's all? I just said I was over with Mexico, right? Well, I've got an email that talks a bit about Mexicans and other Latin Americans, too. It comes from Adam. He says, "Hey, Johnny, a few weeks ago you spoke about after 15 minutes of wearing a mask, there are something like 740 viruses and bacteria incubating on those things and can be tested. Well, since then, I've been called a liar and a bullshitter for stating this and would like to make these people eat their words. Can you give me a source so I can throw it in their faces? Many thanks." Yeah, Adam, I'll dig that stuff up for you and more, okay? All right, here's the Mexico part. He says, "By the way, the wife and I are escaping in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico." All right, me, Johnny here again. That's a place, by the way, that has my favorite stem cell clinic. A nice beach town vacation resort area. Though it is Mexico, as mentioned. Anyway, he says, "I'm down here in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for the moment, giving it a few months to see if we could live here. Now, I know how you feel about Mexico, Johnny, and I agree with what you say. But my wife, who is Mexican, would never consider Guatemala as her Plan B destination. And she said, no way, not Guatemala. So Puerto Vallarta was the best I could manage. But it is way better than the first world, I'll tell you." Then he says, "By the way, Johnny, many thanks. I've listened to every show of yours. I love it, and it always puts a smile on my face. It's why I'm in the third world right now, by the way. I only wish you had an extensive reference network here in Mexico. Man, would that be a help. I can't seem to get anything done here when it comes to paperwork. Oh, but how I laughed to myself the other day when I watched a group of gringos lose it in the bank. They lost their cool when they saw how inefficient things are. And in the moment, I had to laugh because I thought of how you mentioned that very thing on your show. Thanks again for everything, Johnny." Signed, Adam. All right, Adam, thanks for that. But I really have to explain to you listeners out there why Adam's wife would never consider living in Guatemala. Believe me, I know many Mexicans, and I've spoken to many of them about this. It's a strange fact. I have lived in many Latin American countries in the 30-plus years I've been down here. I lived more than 10 years in Guatemala. And of all the Latinos I've met in Guatemala, I don't think I've met two who were from Mexico. Nope, not two. And after a while, I began to wonder, why is that? Why are there so few Mexicans living in Guatemala? I mean, look, they're adjacent countries with a practically wide-open border that's hundreds of miles long. Well, guess what? You can boil it down to the fact that Mexicans believe they are culturally and economically superior to Guatemalans. They refer to them as Hayseeds, kind of backwards country cousin rubes. Hey, I pretty much heard it put like that exactly by countless Mexicans I've met. And of course, they're right about being economically superior. Mexico's got a giant economy. It's got almost 10 times Guatemala's population and thus 10 times the economic activity. The thing is, though, Mexicans are brought up to believe that Guatemala is a second-rate backwards country. It's a classist, even racist kind of attitude. Since most Mexicans have never been to Guatemala, they think it's pretty much entirely indigenous. You know, short, dark people with funny clothes that live in dirt-poor shacks, cook with wood, and have driveway chickens running around everywhere. Now, that may be partly true in many of the small towns way in the boonies in Guatemala, but in the big and medium-sized cities, they're very cosmopolitan.
with Walmart's, Costco's, Gold's Gyms, IMAX, Starbucks, even Maserati dealerships. But still, the old stereotypes prevail. And even 20 or 30 years ago, Mexicans would tell me that Mexico, by virtue of the fact it's got a border with the U.S., that they're head and shoulders above other Latin countries because they've absorbed American culture, that they're automatically a cut above the rest of the Latin American countries that have no border with the U.S., and they believe, and I've heard this over and over again, that people from other Latin American countries are not up to speed like they are. In regards to the rest of the Latinos, they've got a better-than-thou attitude, especially when it comes to Guatemala. So, Adam, I completely understand why your wife would never want to move to Guatemala. The fact is, I've traveled throughout most all Latin American countries, and I rarely run into Mexicans in any of those places either. Though I'm forever running into people from Colombia, Venezuela, Panama, Argentina, etc. So, for many reasons, and those reasons just stated, you just don't see Mexicans going south. Though I have to tell you, there are three other Latino countries whose residents think they're above all other Latins, too. That would be Costa Rica, the Argentinos, and the Chilenos. Now, that's not to say they're comparing themselves with gringos. They're not. But they certainly compare themselves against other Latinos. In other words, if you could get a guy from Mexico, Argentina, Costa Rica, and Chile in the same room together, eventually, even if they did become friends, those cultural prejudices would bubble up. So in the end, who would win the My Shit Don't Stink award? Well, for my money, it'd be the Argentino. Simply because they're forever letting anyone within earshot know. They are the Latin country that has the most European blood, which is true. Even the Mexicans will reluctantly concede, just based on that fact. If you ever take a trip to Buenos Aires, you'll see a good percentage of the population tall, fair-haired, fair-skinned, even quite a few natural redheads. They even have a Spanish name for them, Pele Rojo. And the architecture in many parts of the city, pure European. So then why so much European blood in Argentina? Well, it was mostly because of government policy. They had a huge influx of Germans and Italians between 1900 and 1950. In fact, there was a time they were offering free land and other benefits for immigrants of pure European blood. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Argentina, but there are some towns and villages that if you didn't know you were in Argentina, you'd think they were quaint little villages in the Austrian Alps. And the people there speak both Spanish and German. It's in some ways the oddest thing you've ever seen. But it was a double-edged sword, too. Why do you think so many Nazi war criminals ended up in Argentina? Because they knew it was the one place far, far away that they could blend right in.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.